as we've considered before, Joshua stands as a type in the Old Testament for the Lord Jesus Christ. Greek name Jesus simply translates the Hebrew name Joshua, and the meaning of both is identical. Jehovah is salvation. Whatever Old Testament Israel received in Canaan, they received from God through Joshua. Whatever the Christian receives from God today, he or she receives through Jesus Christ. Now, back in chapter 1, we saw Joshua receive his command from the Lord to be Israel's leader. We saw him take, his commission to be the Lord's Israel's leader. And then we saw him take up his command and then go and communicate to the people that the time had come to go forward and to take their promised land of rest. And now in chapter 2, we're beginning to see how the invasion campaign begins to take shape. And Joshua sends 2 spies to reconnoitre the land between Jordan and Jericho. And in Jericho, the spies find lodging in the house of a harlot called Rahab. And she hides them from the authorities when they come searching for them. And then she persuades the authorities that the spies have already left. She denies that she knew who they were, where they were from, and that they're even any longer here. But they've already left the city. And she persuades the authorities to then take off in chase after them. And we considered Rahab's lies and deception to the authorities. Many would think, well, that was they were white lies, that she was protecting the lives of these men who'd come under her roof. But, you know, either the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness, or it doesn't. So the thing is that Scripture simply reports these things when we see them. It doesn't condone them. However, we also noted the budding faith that was evident in Rahab's life. In divine providence, the Lord had sent these servants to this woman so that he might begin a work in her life. Up till now, Rahab had been a defiled sinner, her life having been one of deep depravity. She was also a dead sinner, living a physical life, yes, but spiritually dead in her sins. And what's more, Rahab, got to not call her Rachel or Ruth, but Rahab. Rahab was a doomed sinner. She's living in a place that the Lord God had already selected for destruction. So defiled, dead, doomed in sin. Is not this the condition of every unsaved person today, separated from God and needing the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in verses 8 to 13 of this chapter, we saw that Rahab had heard about the God of Israel. She also knew something of his ways. To the Canaanites at large, the news or this message that God was about to bring judgment upon them, it struck terror in their hearts. But that same message, that same news, came to Rahab as a message of not of judgment and death, but of an opportunity for reconciliation and life. Not only did Rahab hear the message of Israel's God, she heeded it well, and it produced in her a response of faith in her heart. Rahab confessed her faith in God, and though seemingly at risk herself still in that city, she nonetheless put her life in the hands of God. Now tonight, we called that bit last week about Rachel's confession of faith, but now we're going to see how Rahab's salvation was secured. And our text will be now Joshua 2, verses 18 to 21. 14 to 21, I beg your pardon. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window of her house, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home to thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode 3 days and so on. And then the mission is accomplished, the spying mission, and they go back to Joshua and tell him all. Now, I hope you noticed in there, I've tried to emphasize those words, that in this passage there is reference to this call, verse 15. And then to this line thereafter of scarlet thread in verses 18 and 21. And this is the thing that I'm going to concentrate on tonight, this cord or this line of scarlet thread. And I'm going to do so under three headings. They are these: picture, plea, and product. Picture, plea, and product. So first of all, picture. Well, what does this scarlet line depict? Rahab had proclaimed her faith in the God of Israel and told the spies what she knew about him, and expressing her conviction that he was our powerful God, and that in fact he was the only God. And Rahab's words declared her faith in the promises of God. She asked the spies there in verses 12 and 13 to save her and her family. And the spies promised Rahab that when Israel attacked Jericho, those who were in her house at that time would be saved. Verse 14. Rahab then helped the spies to flee the city by lowering them down the wall from her window, using, we are told in verse 15, a cord. Oh, I point that word out. The Hebrew word means literally a rope. But figuratively, it also is translated in the Old Testament as sorrows. So she was letting down a rope. She was also letting down, if you like, sorrows. The same word we find in Psalm 18, verse 4, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." So the spies told Rahab to bind that cord in her window when Israel approached, and all those in her house would be saved. However, those who left the house during the invasion, they'd undergo the same fate as the rest of the people in Jericho. Now, interestingly, after being called a cord in verse 15, it is hereafter in Joshua 2, and only here, referred to as a line, a word that is usually translated 23 times in the Bible as hope. Verse 18 tells us that this line, this line, this hope, was made from scarlet thread. But this cord, or this line, it was more than just a length of thread. It had to be strong enough to hold the weight of these men. And it had to be long enough to reach the bottom of the wall. Now, the scarlet line was, in all probability, just a common length of flaxen rope, maybe that Rahab had made from the flax that she had on her roof and that she dyed red. It was just a piece of rope. But it pictures so much more than that. In a way, this scarlet line represented Rahab and her former life. I mean, we've all heard about the red light district. Well, that was where Rahab had once lived. And so on one level, the scarlet line represented her depraved past. And it serves as a reminder of our own condition. By nature, we are totally depraved. It doesn't mean that we're as bad as we can possibly be. It just means that in every department of our life, there is corruption, there is sin. And as such, we are separated from God by our sins until we repent and are saved. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, said, "And you hath he quickened, brought alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We all had our conversation in times past. I mean, we were chatting over the wall. It means the conduct of our lives, the way that we went. But in the gospel, the Lord Jesus takes hold, if you like, of our cord of sorrow, the sin, and he turns it into a scarlet line of hope, which leads to our rescue, our salvation. Compare what Isaiah says in chapter 1, verse 18. Here's an appeal from God to the sinner. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, scarlet or crimson, it is also the colour of blood. And it's fascinating to see that the means of Rahab's salvation took the same form as her sin and became the very thing that promised to save her from certain death. Now let me explain. The scarlet line of saving blood runs through the entire Bible. It enters the picture in Genesis chapter 3 and 21 when the Lord slew an innocent animal to provide a covering for the naked bodies of Adam and Eve. The scarlet line can also be seen in the contrast between the offerings of Cain and that of Abel, Genesis chapter 4. It shows up again in the sacrifices of Abraham, and particularly that of Isaac. And later, and I could go through these examples forever, but later we see it in the tabernacle or the temple, in connection with the broken law of God. And indeed, it was to be seen every time a sacrifice or an offering was made, especially on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would sacrifice a goat to atone for the sins of the people. In fact, the scarlet line of, let's call it, redemption, that's just a big word that means paying the price, having the price paid, it weaves itself into the very fabric of the Bible, so that the scriptures, if you like, they'd unravel if that scarlet thread were removed. From Genesis to Malachi, it weaves itself in and out of the characters, in and out of the places, and in and out of the events of the Old Testament, and then on into the Gospels, finally touching the ground, as it were, in Calvary, where the very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took upon himself the sins of the world and died in the place of sinners. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, chapter 5, 21, said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And writing to the Roman church, in chapter 3, and verse 25, he said, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." Again, big word, it means it satisfied God's demand. "A propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." So the scarlet line is a picture of the salvation that comes to the sinner through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation does not come through our good works. It does not come through dead religion. It does not come through creeds and professions and promises. Salvation only and always comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, he was the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin, the payment being made once and for all and forever. Now, Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verses 12 and 28 tell us, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 10 verse 12 says, "And after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now, according to the Bible, we're all sinners, and as such, we're under the wrath of God. The Lord Jesus, well, it wasn't the Lord Jesus, it's John reporting this in John chapter 3, verses 18 and 36. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We need to be saved, but we cannot save ourselves. And so the only thing that can satisfy the wrath of God is the death of a sinless substitute in the place of guilty sinners. And this is why the Lord Jesus came into this world, for the purpose of dying on the cross at Calvary to pay for the sin of his people. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, just as it was in Rahab's case, our salvation took the form of our sin. Jesus came into this world as a man. He died on the cross as a man, taking our guilt upon himself and being judged in our place. And this is the picture that we see in this scarlet line that weaves its way through the books and through the chapters, through the verses, and through the words of the Bible. But how do we take hold of it? Well, this brings me to my second heading, plea. What the scarlet line demands. When the spies left Rahab's home, they told her that the scarlet line there in verse 18 would be a sign to the invading Israelites. And everyone in that home was under the protection of the promise of God and were not to be destroyed. But that line wasn't a flag to be waved about. Before that line could secure Rahab, and her family for that matter, it had to be tied. It had to be anchored in the window. While it remained unattached to anything, though full of promise, it could do no good. And so the scarlet line then comes with several demands. Firstly, it demands faith. It took faith for Rahab to believe the spies. And it took faith to tie that line in the window where it might be seen. I mean, she didn't know how long they were going to be gone for. And after all, the spies, they were enemies of Canaan. So it took faith to take them at their word. But Rahab put her faith in the promises. And she tied that line in the window and believed that she would be saved. She threw her sorrows out of the window and waited for the hope to come. And to be saved from sin, a lost sinner must believe the promises God has made concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner must come to the place where he or she is willing to take God at his word. Like Rahab, we must understand that nothing we ourselves can do will save us. We must know only that faith in God and in God's word will save our souls. And we must come to that place where we put our faith, which is itself the gift of God, into action. Paul again writing to the Roman church, chapter 10, verses 9 and 13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're reminded of doubting Thomas, aren't we? John 14:6. Jesus said to him, Thomas has said, we don't know, where are we going, Lord? Where are you going? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, we might wonder if Rahab felt a bit uncertain. I mean, she didn't know how long that red piece of rope was going to be hanging out of the window all the way to the ground. It might have been spotted by somebody. anybody who was outside. Did she feel a bit silly? Well, a bit of red rope, you know. You know, tying this cord into a window, wondering if it could all be that simple, if a rescue could be that simple. Well, without doubt, she was frightened. And that probably prompted her to doubt whether this was the right thing to do. And it's just the same with us. Satan tells us that we're fools for believing in Jesus Christ. He tells us that we need to work harder, do more, live better lives, try our best to make it to heaven by some other way. Because something as simple as faith, well, that will never save us. It's too good to be true. Well, faith worked for Rahab, and faith will work for you and for me. When we trust the promises of God, then we can rest assured in our salvation. Secondly, the scarlet line demanded urgency. The spies told Rahab to tie the line in the window when they came to invade the land. But we see from verse 21 that she didn't wait until the invasion, until she was sure that the invasion had begun. She tied the cord to the window immediately. She obviously got over the doubts that I've just spoken of. More or less immediately, she ties this cord in the window. And we have a picture here of a sense of urgency on the part of Rahab. She didn't know when Israel might be coming. She didn't want to take any chances. She wanted to be ready when judgment on Jericho came. And so it is with the salvation that God offers. The only time a person can come to the Lord Jesus Christ is while they're alive and living in this world. If we wait until we die, it's too late. We should not delay. We should come to Jesus while we can. If time runs out and we're not saved, we will go to hell. And this is why the Bible speaks more urgently about the safety of the soul than it does about the comfort or prosperity of our lives in this world. The Lord Jesus said, Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Paul writing to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the prophet Isaiah speaking hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came to this world as a man, that said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." So it demanded commitment, it demanded urgency. And thirdly, the scarlet line, sorry, not commitment, it demanded faith, it demanded urgency. And thirdly, it demanded commitment. You know, it took great commitment on Rahab's part when she tied that scarlet line in her window. But she was making a statement, was she not? In effect, she was saying, "I'm choosing the God of Israel over the gods of my people. I'm choosing the people of God over my people. I believe what I've heard about him. I believe in him. If he will not have me, or if he will not save me, then I will perish. And if I am to perish, I will do so believing in the God of Israel." And beyond herself, Rahab also wanted to save her family. So she had to go to them and tell them about the God of Israel and convince them to come into her house if they were to survive this invasion that was about to come upon Jericho. That also required commitment and faith. And in faith, she made that commitment to go and tell others of their need. And she stood by it. You know, it does take real commitment to live for the Lord in this world. You know, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to commit to being different. You're going to have to commit to a life that's different from the world around you. You're going to have to commit to trying to warn others about the judgment that's coming. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it demands that God's true followers be a people who are committed to him wholeheartedly and without reservation. Did not Jesus say to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me"? You know, in Christ Jesus, it sounds, denying self and bearing crosses, it sounds hard. But you know what? The life of self-denial and cross-bearing for Christ is the blessed life. Which brings me to my third heading, product. What the Scarlet Line delivers. When the spies left Rahab, she was tying that line in her window. And all she had was a promise. And the hope that that promise would be kept. And a short time afterwards, Israel duly invaded Canaan. They came to Jericho and they marched around that city once every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around that city seven times. So that's 13 laps of that city, all the Israelites did. And everyone who walked around that city would have seen that scarlet line, must have stood out. When you went round a few times, oh, look at that. Everyone saw that scarlet line hanging from Rahab's window. You know, that scarlet line, that cord, it was a testimony to them. Because they were also trusting in the promises of God. That he'd flatten the walls of Jericho and give them victory over that city. So just like Rahab. And they must have known about Rahab. Don't forget, the spies went back and told Joshua that they must have been looking for that sign. It's interesting that we're told that the walls fell flat before we're told that they went and rescued Rahab. So either they went and rescued her before the walls fell flat, or there was a bit of the wall standing after most of us because they went and got her there. That might be a wonderful miracle. But just like Rahab, these Israelites, they were walking by faith. That scarlet line reminded them that God was already working on the inside of that city, as well as on the outside of it. It reminded them they're in the midst of wrath. God is a God of love, of grace and compassion. That scarlet line was preaching these things to Israel. To them it signaled victory, deliverance, salvation. It spoke those things to Rahab too, and for her protection and security. All those who believed in the promises of God are represented here. But let's not misunderstand. Neither Rahab nor anyone in her home was actually saved by a piece of rope, by the scarlet line. It was, after all, just a length of rope. No, it was placing her faith in what the cord represented, what the scarlet line represented that saved her. The scarlet line represented the saving grace of God. It represented the promises of God to save those who believe in him. And when those promises are accepted in faith, salvation will result. Rahab was saved, we know, and so we believe was her family. Rahab's life was changed, and so would have been the lives of her family. It was the grace of God, appropriated by faith in the scarlet line, that brought salvation, life, and hope to the house of Rahab and to all who came under its roof. Notice that Joshua or the spies, they didn't put any restrictions or limits on the numbers as to who could be saved in Rahab's house. There in verse 22, it was a whosoever will situation. Paul writing to the Roman church, chapter 10, verse 3, says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But again, we know people may not rely on the faith of others, including close family members, but anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus on their own standing in faith and believes in the promise of the gospel shall be saved. Indeed, everyone who comes to God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross comes under the protection of his blood. And we haven't got time to explore this any further, but I'd like to go on and talk about all their sins being washed away. Colossians chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. That they are eternally forgiven. Psalm 103, verse 12. That they're brought close to God. Ephesians 2, 13. They're taken into God's family. Ephesians 2, Romans 8. They're given eternal life. John chapter 10. And they are eternally secured in that salvation. John chapter 6. As an Old Testament type, the scarlet line is filled with meaning. You know, from the earliest days of the church, all the old patriarchs followed the apostles, people like Clement of Rome and Justin Martyr and Irenaeus and Origen and many, many more. They've looked at this passage and seen this scarlet line as a symbol and a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scarlet line in the window was the signal to the army, the Israelite army, that the people in this home were to be spared. And despite Rahab's desire, despite her faith, despite the promises of these spies, she would have perished unless she put her trust in a blood-red cord, a cord of sorrow cast down from her window, which she could not, she had not known, she could not have been saved, she would not have known the cord, the scarlet cord of hope. But what Rahab did wasn't complicated. All she did was tie a scarlet line in her window, and then she waited. It was so simple an action, and yet it guaranteed her salvation. And the salvation that God offers sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ is just as simple. All he asks is that they accept his gift of faith. Can't work faith up for ourselves. It is the gift of God. And then receive and accept that gift and believe God's word and God's promise. If you can believe that you're a sinner, that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, and that he rose from the dead, you too can be saved. Paul writing to the church in Rome, chapter 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, Joshua chapter 2, as well as the Apostle Paul, shows that God can save anyone who will come to him in faith. Ray had nothing going for her. She had nothing to commend herself to the Lord with. She was a Gentile. She was an idol worshipper. She was a harlot. She was a sinful woman. She was a woman heading for hell. She was somebody who deserved to go there as well. But instead, Rahab was saved by the grace of God, brought into the family of Israel, made a partaker of the covenants and the promises of God. And that's the power of God's saving grace. And don't think for a minute that God can't do the same for you or for me. If we come to him, we too will be saved, changed, and made ready for heaven. Now Rahab's destiny was to marry one of the princes of Judah, and she became the mother of Boaz, and married Ruth. And so she became the great-great-grandmother of King David. And you can find her name listed in the line of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua would be a saviour for Rahab and a judge upon Jericho. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus is a saviour for those who trust him, but a judge for those who reject him. So let's thank God for that scarlet line, which speaks of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then let's take hold of it. Amen. We turn to sing our closing hymn 645. If God himself be for me, I may a host defy. For when I pray before me, my foes confounded fly. This I believe, yea, rather, of this I make my boast, that God is my dear Father, the friend who loves me most. Hymn 645. It is a truly amazing thing that Rahab, like us, was a sinner. And yet, Lord, the thing that was her judgment, the sin, Lord, that she bore, Lord, became in thee the salvation, the cord, Lord, of sorrow, became, Lord, the line of hope in thee. And Lord, we praise thee and thank thee. We could not, Lord, have understood this. We could not have guessed it. We could not have worked it out. Lord, it is one of the great mysteries revealed to us by thy Holy Spirit through thy word. And we praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for all of these things. Help us to see in Rahab her situation, her lifestyle, everything, Lord, was no different than our own. And yet, Lord, thou did come to us, thou did bring us news of salvation, of the God, the one true God, the God of heaven and earth. And thou, Lord, did speak to our hearts, and we received and heeded that message well. If we belong to thee, we thank thee. And if not, Lord, then speak to our hearts again, and call us to thee, that we might, Lord, know what it is to exchange the cord of sorrows for the line of hope in thee. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.